You've tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word, for righteousness and holiness? Our aim is to point you to Jesus. Your investment in His Will Ministry helps to spread God's Word around the world through this radio program and other outreaches. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org, or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you, and here's Pastor Warner.
The scribes came to Jesus and said to Jesus, "Lord," as they were trying to trip him up, "what's the greatest commandment?" What did Jesus say? "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy soul, with all thy breath." Well, I'll tell you, if you do that, you've got to be fearing the Lord, don't you? Yes. God's trying to give us a message. Fear only Him. Fear only the Lord. Nothing else. Nothing else can hurt you. Let's look at what happens when we fear the Lord. I love this story. It's in 2 Kings. It's Elijah. 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 1. You know, Elijah's kind of my hero. He stayed with God, stayed with Elijah all the way through. Through everything, he stayed with him. Even when Elijah kept telling Elijah to stay behind, he kept going, "No, no, I got to stay with you. I got to stay with you. I got to stay with you." And then when asked what he wanted, he said, "I want double what you got." That takes guts. You know, I mean, that takes guts. Stand there, look at your boss and say, "I want twice what you got." That takes a lot of guts, especially when you figure out what it's going to mean. And what did Elijah say? And do you really know what you're asking for? But look what happens when you fear the Lord. Now, this is a widow. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead." So we know that her husband was a prophet who was either working with or serving Elijah. So he was a man of God. So these are two things here that you should note. One, what does God do for a man of God's relative's wife when he's gone, if they fear the Lord? And what does God do for someone that does fear the Lord? "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be a slave." You know, I'm going to stop there for just a second because I want to make I really do want to say something. This is something that people don't think about, but it's one of the saddest things in the world. There are a lot of pastors and there are a lot of ministers that when they grow old, because they've served the Lord all their lives, they have nothing. They have no one to take care of them. They end up in retirement homes with nobody to care or love for them. You know, the Assemblies of God is one of the few, and I think the Adventists is one of the others, but there's one or two groups that actually have retirement homes set aside for aging pastors. But men of God should never have to be in that position. The sheep should love them enough. Their sheep. You don't have that problem because you don't have anybody that's been here long enough to retire. So you can count yourself lucky, I guess.
I didn't think about everything yesterday. We had it down in our church, you know. And it's funny that you should say that, because I was thinking very straight.
Well, I know in my case, I tell everybody my retirement's death. I will preach the gospel till the day I die. Even if I'm wheeling around somewhere, I will preach the gospel. But there's a lot of pastors that, because of illness, or pastors' wives that have lost their husbands. And if a man of God came along like this, right here, and we'll finish reading, they wouldn't have problems. They could live out their lives. So Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Now, this woman had gotten to the point where she was so poor, there was no food, there was no bread, there was no nothing left, just the jar of oil. Now, one little jar of oil to keep the last going. And he said, go and borrow vessels from everywhere, from your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you, and you and your sons shall pour into those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is no other vessel. So the oil then ceased. Miracle of God. Yeah.
Yeah.
We are always limited by our faith. Now, in this case, we don't know. It says that they brought all they could find, which that, if we read on, which we will, says that there was enough to do two things. Pay off the debt and live with enough money left over to live off of. Now, this actually has many different symbols of things. And part of it is the symbolism and the belief that the more you pour into the kingdom, the more will be poured back onto you. The more you give God, the more He'll give back as you need it. And just like this woman, that she said to the man of God, he said, go and sell and pay your debt and you and your son shall live on the rest of it. It's just, you know, seven little verses and bam, she's in here, she's out of here. But what does it say? She and her husband feared the Lord. And because they feared the Lord and served the Lord's prophet, or served the Lord, this was her honor. How many times do we, when we're poor or we're broke or we're in fear of losing a job or our health is not good, do we fail to bring it to the Lord? Do we fail to bring it to the man of God? You know, people, the man of God that He's brought into your lives is there for a reason. God didn't bring a pastor into your life. He didn't bring an evangelist into your life. He didn't bring a man of God into your life for no reason at all. There is an anointing that flows from the Heavenly Father outward. And if you don't go, if this woman hadn't gone to Elijah, where would she be? Her sons would be in jail and she'd be dead. But she said to the prophet, why me? That's basically what she said. Why me, Elijah? What did I do wrong? Why me? My husband served you. I feared the Lord and look at me. What did the man of God say? What do you need from me? He didn't do it. He just told her what to do. The Lord did it. When there's problems in your life, you can take them to the Lord, but the Lord also gives you a man of God to help you out, to talk to pray with. Jesus said, where two or more come together, I am there. There's power in multiplicity. One mind, one body, one soul, one holy fear of God. There's power there. We can't do it on our own. God didn't plan on us doing it on our own. Why do you think so many pastors fall? Right now we're losing about 1,500 pastors a month across the nation. We're losing about 1,500 pastors a month are quitting and turning in their credentials. Because they don't have anybody. Most pastors don't have someone they can talk to. Because there's so many secrets buried in here, they don't have anybody but the Lord. That's why you need to pray for the man of God in your life, and you need to be on your knees for him constantly. Because that man of God, when you come up and tell him your deepest, darkest secrets, he can't turn around and tell someone else. The only person he can tell them to is the Lord. And that's the one Satan attacks. That's the start of the bringing down. You want to destroy a church? You want to keep the church from growing? Get the pastor to leave. Get him to quit. Or even worse, get him to fall in some kind of evil sin. And you'll see the church go down. Let's look at a few of the blessings. Psalms. We're getting there. We're going to get to the New Testament yet. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 25, verse 14. Your Bible may use a different word here. Let's see what it uses. 25:14. 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. He will show them His covenant. What do you think that secret is? The Hebrew word, therefore, is intimacy. The intimacy of a personal relationship. See, God opens that up. David knew that. This man went from the heights of the heights to the bottoms of the bottoms. David knew what it was like to be a slime ball. David knew what it was like to be on the top. Remember what happened to David? God gave me that one this morning. He decided he had to have a census. How many times did the God that he worshipped and feared say, "Don't number my people. Don't you do that. Don't you ever number my people. Don't be numbering them." David said, "Oh, let's have a census." His men walked up to him and said, "What? Don't do that, David. It's wrong. We don't need to know." David said, "Oh, no, I got to have it." As soon as he did, what happened? The Lord said, "Okay, David, I told you not to do this. You got three choices. I'm going to turn you over to your enemies." I can't remember the second one. Help me here. What was the second one? I'm going to have to look it up. Oh, I wrote that down this morning. You have three choices. The first choice was, "I'll give you 3 days of plagues." That was 3 months at war, three days at his enemy's hands, and 3 days with the Lord, I believe it was. It was all threes. But the last one was 3 days at my hand, God said. And David said, "Well, I'd much rather be in your hands than anybody else's, Lord. I'm sorry, I fear you more than anybody else, but I know you're just and honest." Well, before God gave David a way out, he sent the angel down and killed 70,000 people. And then David saw, God opens his eyes, and he saw an angel with a giant sword standing over Jerusalem, ready to strike Jerusalem with his sword. David fell on his face and said, "Forgive me, Lord. It is mine. Punish me, my family, and everything to do with my family, but don't touch these people." The Lord gave him a way out. Because David showed his reverent fear. And he says here, the secret of the Lord, or the way to get a personal relationship, the intimacy of the Lord is through fear. And that's the reason David was able to get out of his mess. Because he truly did fear the Lord. And he had a one-on-one with God. You know, I'm always jealous of all these people in the Old Testament. God talked to them. I love that. You know, even if I was wrong, it'd be great to have God come down and tell me, "Okay, Jay, you've been wrong. I'm going to give you this choice, or this choice." Now, I wouldn't want to be in that situation, but I think it'd be great to have God come down and talk to me. To have that much relationship and that much fear with Him. I'd rather it be a pleasant situation than I did something wrong. Let's look at a few other things. Let's look at the blessings. Let's look at 115, Psalms 115. Can I stay in one book for a while? I make it easy on you guys. Psalms 115. Not 15 verses, Psalms 115. The chapter 115, verse 11.
Oh, okay.
We're getting ahead of me, Scott. No, no, no. Psalms 115, verse 11. "You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those that fear the Lord, both great and small. May the Lord give you increase and more. You and your children, may you be blessed by the Lord, who made the heaven and earth." What's he saying here? Those who fear God are what? They're going to be blessed. Their children are going to be blessed. The Lord's going to give you increase. So there's a key to fearing the Lord. Let's look at Psalms 27:1. I like David here. He's always got these little rhetorical questions he throws at us. It's like we don't know the answer and he doesn't know the answer, so he's going to throw it out and see who pulls up their hand. You know, a pastor really knows how that goes, because many times we ask questions in church and there's this pause, and we're hoping somebody will say something, and we know how David must have felt when there's no answer to the pause. Because David said, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" You just picture him while he's saying this, especially if it's in front of the congregation. "Whom shall I fear?" Pause. Waiting for everybody to say something. And they don't. He goes on. "The Lord is my strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" Pause. And it's quiet. Nobody says the Lord. What does David say? He says, whom? He's asking rhetorical questions. He's my salvation. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I'm gonna jump here for you just to get you guys into the New Testament. Everybody looks like they want to do some New Testament hopping. So let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Well, these are Jesus' words. According to my Bible, it's in red. It's got to be Jesus' words. My Bible wouldn't lie. And do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is what? Able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So that's the key right there. Even Jesus said it. Who are we supposed to fear? Not man, not job, not where we're going to be tomorrow, not what we're going to eat the next day, but fear God. Because God doesn't only have the power to kill you, He's got the power to judge you and cast your soul into hell. It's far beyond just killing you. God holds your eternal life in His hand. He says, fear Him who, you know, it's personal, fear Him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. In Deuteronomy, we have basically the same verse. I'll give that to you. We can go there. Deuteronomy 10:12. If you want to read it. It's the mirror verse, the Old Testament mirror of this one. Deuteronomy 10:12. And know, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep His commandments and His statutes. See, we're back to what does He require first. It doesn't matter if you turn around and keep His commandments. It doesn't matter if you turn around and do what He tells you if you don't have a fear of the Lord. Are you doing what you do because you fear your Lord God, because He's the Mighty One? He's the one that created what you're standing on here, what you're sitting on. Or do you do it because God's been good to you? Think about it. Because if you do what you do for the Lord only because God's been good to you, what are you going to do when He's not good to you? What are you going to do when somebody persecutes you? What are you going to do when someone walks up to you in your job and says, Ray, I don't like you talking about Jesus. You either shut up or get out. You're fired. Do you fear man or God? You have to know who you fear. About 3 years ago, we were working with a major oil company. And every morning when I sent out my reports, I put a Bible scripture at the bottom. And I said, today's scripture. Have a great day. Well, I did that for about a month, and then I got a phone call, and I was told that that was inappropriate, that I shouldn't be proselytizing. So I went down to the bookstore, and I bought a book. 5,000 quotable quotes. Well, guess what? Inside that quotable quote, there's all kinds of quotes from the Bible. So every morning, I sent out a quote from the Bible, from this book, by so-and-so, 5,000 quotable quotes. I wasn't quoting the Bible. I was quoting 5,000 quotable quotes. 30 days later, we didn't work for him anymore. Who do you fear? The only fear you should have in this whole world is Jesus, that He won't love you and be with you always, and God, because He's the one that can kill you and cast you into hell. Everything else doesn't matter. Everything else doesn't matter. If you're dying of cancer, it doesn't matter if you have Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're not knowing where your next meal's coming from, it doesn't matter if you have Jesus Christ. What you're living in, according to God, a day of 1,000 years, and He doesn't tell us that one time either. Study the Bible. You'll see it's in there numerous times. A day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. So think about it. The average life you've got is 70 years, maybe 80 if you're lucky. Maybe it's a really good 100. So you live less than a tenth of a day in God's time span. In God's time span of eternity, your life is less than one-tenth of a day. So it means if you put it on our scale of 24 hours, in God's time you live, if you're lucky, 2.4 hours. Maybe 2 hours. Now, in that 2 hours, you spend your time getting gray hair. You spend your time struggling, worrying about your job, worrying about your kids, worrying about all these things that are unimportant. Think about it. In the grand scheme of things, you just spent your entire 2 hours in eternity worrying about things that weren't important. Because whether you have that contract, or whether Shell comes back and drills next year, or whether Scott goes and wells 4 million more wellheads, isn't going to matter in the grand scheme of eternity. Because if you haven't worried and feared about God, it just isn't going to matter. And see, that's the way you have to put into perspective your life. No, you're not insignificant. God loves you. In fact, in God's eyes, you're just as significant as His Son. Paul tells us we have been made sons of God, sons and daughters of God. In God's eyes, everyone in this room is just as significant as Jesus. He doesn't know any difference. But until we get into the eternal realm, we're stuck in this little time zone that we think is the world. It isn't the world. The world is on the other side that you can't yet see. And that's the reason for the fear of the Lord and the personal relationship, because the closer you get to Jesus, the more you can see the other side. Paul says we look through a glass dimly, but when we will see clearly. That's the perspective you have to have. Fear nothing, nothing, nothing but the Lord Himself. And all these things, He says, you fear me, I'm going to give you wisdom. You open door number 2 and fear me, and I'm going to make you healthy and increase your life. You open door number 3 and you're going to get riches and blessings. Because you've based your whole existence on the one premise that has to start it, the fear of the Lord. No matter how short or how long my life is, that's where I start. I don't have any idea. I could walk out this door and get in that truck and be run over by an 18-wheeler and gone today. Praise God, I'm home. My 2.4 hours got shortened by about 35 minutes. That's another sermon in itself. But that's the premise. Don't look at what's in here or what's out here. You know, you could have lost your home. You could have lost the person you love. You could have lost your job. You could be consumed with cancer. But if you have Jesus Christ and a holy fear of God, it just doesn't matter. Because whatever it is, it's going to be gone in a blink of God's eye. My wife had a dream one night, and it was so funny because she wants to go home so bad. Nobody asked how bad? She wants to go home so bad, she had this dream she died, went to heaven. And of course, she loves me so much, her first concern was, well, what about Jay? It'll just kill him. It'll destroy him. And of course, the angels to tell her, or Jesus to tell her, make her feel better, says, oh no, your death will jumpstart his ministry. And I'm like, oh, thanks. But her comment was, but I will miss him. And Jesus said, no, you won't. It'll be a blink of an eye, and he'll be here. See, and that's the thing we don't realize. Heaven's time is so much different from ours. It's a blink of an eye. When you think about it, scientists believe the world has been here 6.5 billion years. It doesn't matter if it does. Even if this world's been here 6.5 billion years, guess what? That's 2 blinks in the eye of God in the long scheme of eternity. God said to His Son, I am. God said to the Israelites, tell them, I am. He didn't say, I will be. He is, I am. So even if it's 6.5 billion years ago, guess what? I am. 6.5 billion years in the future, I am. You and I, they're going to say, Jay was. You know, right now, Jay is. 40 years from now, they'll be saying, Jay was. 50 years ago, somebody might have said, Jay will be. But Jay never, until he gets into the other side with God, is. He'll never be the I am, the I am, the permanent. For right now, I'm a blank. I'm a short blank. If God grants me, I'll be a longer blank. But we're a blank in the grand scheme of eternity, and if we don't fear the Lord, we've lost the foothold. Jesus said He's the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone of our salvation and the cornerstone of our faith. But our foundation has got to be the fear of the Lord. Because if you don't fear God, you're not going to have any faith to do anything. You can't have faith without the fear of God. Because what good is the faith? There is no faith. If you don't fear God, don't believe He's the top dog, the head, the boss, whatever you want to call Him in today's vernacular. If you ever read the message, they turn the Bible into today's language. There's things in there I don't even know. If you don't believe that, don't have that holy fear of God first as your foundation, then the cornerstone, the salvation, the faith, everything that goes on top has nothing to rest on, and it will fall. Get a holy fear. Get into the presence. And you'd be amazed what's going to happen in this church. Be amazed how this place could grow. You know, this is a fertile valley. There are people out here probably that haven't even heard somebody speak Jesus to them. There are people out here that have heard a perverted Jesus. There probably are people here that have been taught that if they don't live under the law of the Old Testament, they're not going to be saved. There's probably some in here that have been taught that there's only 144,000 that are going to go to heaven and the rest of them are going to be stuck in a little building hiding in the corners hoping that the evil times of Revelation don't get him. Those are all different religions and all different beliefs. There's only one true belief, and it's right here. It's not the Assemblies of God. It's not the Christian church. It's Jesus Christ. This is it. Jesus Christ and the fear of the Lord. Jesus, when He taught us to pray, the first words out of His mouth was, Father, hallowed be Thy name. Father, honored be Thy name. Feared be Thy name. We humble ourselves before Thy name. Then the second thing He taught us to pray was, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will be done in your lives. And finally He said, Lord, give us our daily bread. Jesus was saying, here's the important things. Praise God, honor Him, fear Him, then ask that His will be done in your life. Then you can get around to the day-to-day needs of forgiving others, being forgiven, having bread. Those are all incidentals. These are the important things. Think about it. Study it. If you can, show me where I'm making mistakes. I'm always willing to learn the Word of God. But I think you'll find that a true, humble, holy fear of God is a good starting point for your lives. And if your lives are kind of floating, or if you're having problems, or you don't know where you're going, go back to the basics of the Bible and read and start fearing the Lord, and then the rest will follow. Better life, better health, better wealth, better blessings will all fear because you based your whole life on one thing.
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to Him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.